Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, as we have been doing our Bible study today, we've been talking about a changing worldview in our country. Okay, in other words, what it was when we were kids, as Dean talked about this morning, it's not the way it is today, is it? You know, for some of you that grew up during World War II, the 17 and 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, were sitting in landing craft getting ready to go onto the shore of France on D-Day, you know, of which many of them didn't come back from it. And then when you look at the 17, 18, and 19-year-olds today, if they're offended, they just can't deal with it. The world view of these people has changed. I got a story I'd like to relate to you, and it's about a pastor. And I heard this story years ago, and I, you know, you keep things sort of in your mind, but I want to share this with you. This pastor had a neighbor that was a few years older than he was, and he was the hero to the rest of the neighborhood. You know, the boys, you know, years ago when you look at boys, we all went outside and played and roughed house and played baseball and football, and we were never clean, okay? Usually you put on the same clothes you had. You know, there's always a joke about turning underwear inside out, because that was the clean side. But, you know, the thing is, boys would be boys. But this neighbor was always clean. Always had good clothes on, not new clothes, but clean. You know, he was confident. He was clean. He was neat. You know, the other boys looked up to him. One day, the boys asked him to play baseball, and he turned them down. And he says, "Listen," he said, "I've got to help my mom today." He says, "I want to dig up wild roses that are in all of her flower beds and get them ready for her spring planting." If you've ever done that, wild roses are one of those things that get gnarled, not only on top, but in the roots underneath. And so it's a big job to do that, to get rid of those. And of course, the boys are doing, "Well, did she tell you to do that?" And he said, "No, I'm just doing it to help out." "Well, why are you doing it?" "Well, because I want to." In fact, the boys thought he was being punished because of this. Here's what he said. "Every morning, I get up and I put on clean clothes. I go downstairs and breakfast is ready. I gather up school supplies and go to school and come home, and then I can play some baseball or basketball. I go to bed in a nice house, and I didn't do anything to get it. I don't buy food. I don't buy clothes. I don't buy shoes, toys, or anything. I live in a great house, and my parents work all the time to give those things to me, and it's time to start giving something back to them." Well, the rest of his friends never thought of it that way. So right after that, lawn started getting to be mowed without somebody yelling at him to do it. Now this shows the age of the story, because coal was being shoveled into the coal bin without being told to do it. Would you imagine this was a lifelong change? No. I mean, boys will be boys, and even though they helped for a while, they went back to playing baseball all day long, and, "Oh, I forgot about that," and didn't get done. But the boy who wrote this ended up becoming a pastor because that statement helped change his life. You know, this happened at the time that he was going through confirmation in the class studying the first article of the creed. And of course, I had my book setting out and I didn't bring it today. But part of the thing is, when we look at that first article of the creed, God gives us everything we need, okay? And the thing is, when we think about things like that, we know that we have nothing on our own. We have everything that we receive from God. He realized that if God loved him that much, it was time for him to start giving back. Now, neighbors did not need to ask him to help. He felt he had to do something, even though, let's face it, God doesn't really need his offerings. Okay? His parents gave him everything, but he himself was poor. In his life with God, he was poor. He had nothing that had been given to him except what that was. And you remember in the third article, "I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ or come to him. He and us, we're that poor. It's not just the ones out there that have nothing. We have nothing too. We're just as much a part of that poor. Let me read you what Luther said. When Luther died, he was found to have a piece of paper in his pocket. Here's what it said. Let no one suppose that he has tasted the Holy Scriptures sufficiently unless he has ruled over the churches with the prophets for 100 years. We are beggars. And that is the truth. Everything in our life, everything we receive, including our gift of faith, comes from God. When Jesus talks about the poor, there are those that realize they are beggars. But there's those of us who don't realize we're beggars too. So it's not just about having things, but it's about the relationship of our attitude of that relationship with God. As beggars, we bring nothing to God. He brings everything to us. When Jesus went to John the Baptist, what happened? John says, Lord, you need to be baptizing me. And he says, no, I need to be baptized by you. He opened the hearts of everyone by going through that baptism for the grace of the gospel. In the Beatitudes, Jesus tells us that the blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? For they shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. So the gospel is meant not only for the poor, and only for the poor, but for the poor in spirit, which is us. Christ came for beggars, and only for beggars, which means he came for us. All of us, as beggars, are appointed in Christ the King to be members of his kingdom. When we receive this blessing, we want to give back, not because we have to, but because this blessing pours out of us onto those around us. We're so compelled to give back to Jesus that our compulsion of our life membership in Christ leads us to aid our neighbor to come into Christ's kingdom. Jesus, our prophet, our priest, our king, preaches to us the kingdom of heaven through his gospel as the Holy Spirit enlightens us with the gifts of the Spirit. You and I have talked a lot about the gifts of the Spirit. You bring it up in our Sunday school. Folks, those are just as real today as they were back then. You know, it's one of those things we talk about. I had a pastor one time said, well, the gifts of the Spirit were only in Bible times. Really? No, we have the gifts of spirits with us each and every day. Jesus was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Now, isn't this where it gets difficult for us as Christians as we share our Christian faith with the poor around us? Folks, we are captive to the devil by sin, and breaking out of this takes more than we can do on our own. Spiritually, we are prisoners to the devil, and so we are badly in need of the Holy Spirit in our lives to break free of that evil that's in our lives. Jesus came to us to heal the brokenhearted. Remember last week we did Psalm 51. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. All of us, and I mean all of us, when we're confronted by the law, we're spiritually broken. So in our natural state, we're spiritually broken, we're spiritually dead, and we're spiritually blind because of the state of our original sin. In the real world, religion is a private matter, not to be discussed. But wasn't Jesus anointed in the real world for us to share that message? And if he can share the message, can't we share the message? Folks, Jesus was born in a lowly stable with animals around him for friends. And all of that that comes with that shows his lowly birth. Well, folks, we grew up in that real world too, with real people, both good and bad people. Just as he grew up with people who loved him and people who wanted him dead. Jesus died on a real cross with real nails and real blood pouring out of him. And he had a real spear thrust into his side in his human chest. Folks, he died with real criminals beside him. But yet, didn't he have compassion on them? And also, didn't he forgive the people who crucified him? So, Jesus did not come to eliminate poverty. He says the poor will always be with us. But as we've heard today, that definition of poor has a lot bigger meaning than what we thought it did. When we realize that we too are poor, when we realize we're beggars, and when we realize we're nothing without Jesus, when we realize that all we have comes from God, then we can be rescued by the bitter suffering and death of Jesus on the cross and be members of his kingdom. And then we are really blessed. And then we want to give back to Jesus to share. When the hungry came to Jesus, and the apostles said, well, we got to get rid of them. Sermon on the Mount, right? Well, what are we going to do? They got to eat. Well, let's release them, let them go eat. What did Jesus say? Feed them. And what happened? They fed them. And they had leftovers. And when they collected it, feeded everything. You know, they talk about the 5,000, that's 5,000 men. You figure out the women and kids, that's 20,000 people. By how many fish and loaves? Five loaves, seven fish. Well, that was stretching that meal out pretty fur, wasn't it? But you see what I'm getting at? Anything is possible with God in your life. And that's what the Bible, I think, shows us. Okay? Jesus never turns down the poor who come to him for help. So, Jesus' ministry, it's to the whole person, both the body and the soul, the physical and the spiritual. And so when we let Jesus Christ be to us in that way, then we can be his vicar. And what's that funny word vicar stand for? Vicar. More than that. We talk about the vicarious atonement. How many of you ever heard that? If you're Roman Catholic, you might have, because it's Latin. What is a vicarious atonement? You're getting close. He stood in the place for us. Vicarious means one who stands in the place of. And atonement, well, you know what atonement means. So he atoned for us. And then when we're his vicar, we stand in his place to other people. Folks, you know, usually I wear a clerical. Sometimes I'll wear a shirt and tie. Why do I do that? Who do I represent when I'm in this position? I'm standing in his place. Okay. Does that mean I'm like Jesus? No, talk to Peggy, you know. But the thing is, folks, we all stand in the place of Christ. If he's in us, if we are in him, then we stand to others. And as Luther said, here I stand, I can do no other. Right? How many times have you let that come out of your life? Well, I don't know if I can do that. You know, and that's, yeah, we are. That's human nature. But the thing is, there comes a time when you stand up for Jesus. Okay? And you do it in little things, and then it can grow. We become the sign of Christ, acting in all people's lives. And I'd like to finish up today with something that Luther wrote, and it's about what Paul says in Romans 5. Okay? As we talked a little bit in Sunday school, I read a lot of Luther. I don't know why, I'm a Lutheran pastor. You know, there's a lot of it that's good, some of it's not. But I like this one. Therefore, if we recognize the great and precious things what are given to us, as Paul says, our hearts will be filled by the Holy Spirit with the love, what makes us free, joyful, almighty workers, and conquerors over all tribulations, fervent of our neighbors and yet lords of all. Now what does that mean? That's Galatians 5, too, in there, isn't it? God, those who do not recognize the gifts bestowed upon them through Jesus Christ. He has been born then in vain. Just as our neighbor is in need and lacks them in which we are about, so we were in need before God and lacked his mercy. Hence, as our heavenly Father has in Christ freely come to our aid, we also ought to help freely our neighbor through our body and its works. And each one should become, as it were, a Christ to the other, that we may be Christ to one another, and Christ may be the same in all. And that is, listen to this, that we may be truly Christian. There's what it means to be a Christian. There's what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And as we are in this time where we commemorate what Jesus did in the wilderness, isn't this a good time to take up our cross and follow him too? May this peace, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.